Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
I did a story the other day about a prosecutor who got arrested for drunk driving here in Michigan, and I mentioned that that's not a good look for a prosecutor to be in the news that way. And Too Cool, sent me a story. Now, this is from a couple years ago, but it's one of those things where when I did that story, several people tell me, it reminded me of this story, it reminded me of that story. And that's a bad thing, okay? The story's not good. I mean, it's an entertaining story when we read it and we, you know, how this happened. But when it, you go, wait, that reminds me of, and it turns out that there's other variations of this elsewhere. So the story that he sent me is from Hawaii News Now. It's a website. Chelsea Davis and Lynn Kawano wrote it. And the headline asks the question, should a city deputy prosecutor keep his job after a second DUI arrest? After a second DUI arrest. Fool me once. Honolulu. Still no word on the status of a Honolulu deputy prosecutor who got a second DUI arrest this past weekend. John Karamatsu was arrested early Saturday morning near the intersection of Ala Moana Boulevard and Hobron Lane. And again, remember, this is 2015. This is a couple years old, but we're talking about it now simply because it's one of these things that's reminiscent of a previous story. Officers booked the 40-year-old for DUI and refusing to submit to testing. In most states, if they have a reasonable suspicion that you are intoxicated, they can ask you to submit to a test at the roadside. And if you don't, that in and of itself is a crime. And any prosecutor would know that, of course. Arky Cole, a spokesman for Mothers Against Drunk Driving, said, it certainly sends the wrong message. It's a legal ploy, and if you're a clever lawyer, that might be a thing to do, but it definitely sends a bad message if you're a public official. Referring to the refusal at the roadside, I'm assuming. It does make it harder for the prosecutor's office or the attorney general's office to prosecute him because they don't have a breathalyzer result, says defense attorney Victor Backey, who has more than 20 years in the business and has worked on hundreds of DUI cases. However, it does weigh against him as far as his driving license privileges are concerned. Plus, he will be charged with a criminal offense of refusal to submit to a test, which does carry criminal penalties of up to 30 days in jail and a criminal record, says Backey. So in case you're curious, at the roadside, if you fail the field sobriety test or they have reasonable suspicion to do this, they can make you blow a breathalyzer. And it changes from state to state. But the preliminary breath test they give you at the roadside is called a preliminary breath test for a reason. It's preliminary. And it is not as accurate as the machine they've got back at the station. It's also not as accurate as a blood draw. They can actually draw blood. The problem is if you do not consent to these things, they have to go get a warrant. And of course, while they go get a warrant, it might be allowing the alcohol to dissipate out of your system. So some people who know this will actually make the conscious decision, I can refuse the breath test and face the criminal sanctions of that, but at least I might not face the alcohol driving under the influence sanctions. I might not face them because either they can't get the warrant or they won't get it in time. So that's the conscious decision that they often make. So the guy's a prosecutor. He's smart enough to know that he's doing this. So he's doing it for a reason. He made the strategic choice. I refuse to give the preliminary breath test. I challenge you. Go get a warrant. Now, in 2007, while Karamatsu was vice speaker of the state house, he was convicted after crashing his car into a concrete median. He pleaded no contest in that case and had his driver's license revoked for 6 months. The former state lawmaker also helped pass tougher DUI laws. I've learned from my mistake, he said. I'm deeply sorry and I'm very fortunate no one got hurt. As he said back in 07. Backey says, now he's going to have to kind of swallow those words and try to explain why he was in this situation again after going through it once. And Karamatsu has had other issues recently. Hawaii News Now reported on his involvement with a rave at Kakako Park last year in an event that about 10,000 people attended. While he's working at the prosecutor's office, he decided to go out and promote raves, which, in case you're not aware of, is something that most law enforcement people aren't happy about. This is from former Honolulu prosecutor, attorney Peter Carlisle. Carlisle doesn't think Karamatsu should still have a job, or at least not the job he's got. There is no excuse for this guy being hired by the prosecutor's office in the first place, number two, being maintained in the prosecutor's office, and three, any other alternative than him being immediately fired, not allowed to resign, but fired, says Carlisle. We're told that Karamatsu called his boss after his arrest on Saturday And a spokesperson for the prosecutor's office, Kaneshiro, that's the boss, is disappointed. He also said the office is waiting for all the facts before taking any action and refused to speak about Karamatsu's current status. The state attorney general's office will likely handle the case because obviously the local prosecutors wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole, and they really shouldn't because they probably know the guy, work with the guy, and it would appear to have some kind of conflict possibilities. So the question is, and I've mentioned this before, I haven't handled any drunk driving cases in a little while, but I used to handle them from time to time. And I almost always handle them for friends. Somebody call me up and say, Steve, you know, I'm embarrassed. Hate to even call an attorney. Hate to admit this to anybody, but I got busted for drunk driving. Can you help me? I say, yeah, I can help you. And 99.9% of the cases I handled were first offenses. And in Michigan, on a first offense, regardless of anything else that happens to you, you're going to get at least 4 points in your license, which is a lot. You're going to have your license suspended for a while. You might get a restricted license that allows you to drive to and from work, to and from treatment, to and from church, things like that, but it's going to be limited. And you're also going to have a bunch of fines and costs and court oversight. You might be on probation for a while, whether it's reporting or non-reporting, doesn't matter. You get probation for a while. So you're going to go through this costly and expensive process that is extremely painful, at least psychologically. And I have people who come to my office, first offense, drunk driving. I explain this to them. I say, this is all the stuff that's going to happen to you. Most of my clients that I've dealt with, I genuinely felt, learned from that first mistake where they actually said, you know something, Steve? I might never drink again. But if I ever drink, I ain't going to drive. I'm not going to drive. And the good news is that I don't know of any of my former clients who got busted for drunk driving ever getting busted again. Now, it might be they never called me, so I can't guarantee that's the case, but I think that's the case. Because most of the people I know would well, I would know well enough to where I'd probably hear. And so, remember, I've been practicing for 29 years, so there's some time in there. So, interesting thing though is, I've had people call me before and they say, Steve, I got busted for drunk driving. And I go, okay, have you ever been busted for this before? If they say yes, I say, I'm sorry, I don't handle this. Don't handle this. And I can refer you to somebody who does. And you might say, Steve, why would you make the distinction? Two reasons. One of which is a legal one. A second offense drunk driving becomes much more serious. Much more serious. And you're going to lose your license. You might not get a restricted license. You're going to be on probation for a long period of time. The costs and expenses are much greater. And you are probably going to jail. You're probably going to jail. Now, I've had first offense drunk drivers who went to jail for a weekend, a couple days. Judge thought it would be good to teach them a lesson. But many of them did not go to jail. I tell them there's a possibility you could go to jail, first offense, but we can probably keep you out, depending on the court you're in. Second offense, you're going to jail. Now, you might only spend a couple weekends in jail. You might spend 30 days in jail. But you're going to jail. And I've told people that because I don't specialize in criminal law, I don't want to put myself in a position where there's a high likelihood that my client, even if I do have my job perfectly well, is still going to jail. I don't want to do that. So I would refer you to a criminal attorney to do that, somebody who specializes in criminal defense. But there's actually, and I don't want to sound righteous. I'm not trying to be holier than thou. But there is a problem in my mind where if you've been busted for drunk driving, and you went through the whole painful process where you attended meetings, where you went to jail, where you went to probation and spoke to a probation officer, where you paid the outrageous fines and costs and fees associated. You paid an attorney. You may have paid me the money. Although I said, no, nobody's ever come back. But if they did, this is what I would tell them. And the problem I have is, if that didn't teach you a lesson, what will? And the Mothers Against Drunk Driving, when I mention them, I'm going to get comments below, I know this. People are going to complain about how harsh they've made the laws, and they've lobbied hard, and they've gotten the laws to be made more difficult as time goes by. But they were designed to be harsh, but they escalate very, very quickly. Third offense in Michigan, you're going to prison, okay? Now, there's ways that you might nowadays especially, you might get an ankle monitor and be under house arrest. But you're going to jail for a while, okay? You're going away. And it's not pretty, and that happens pretty quickly. But my point to you, and I'm just speaking person to person, just think for a moment. If you went through this extremely painful process of a first offense drunk driving, maybe you spent a weekend in jail, you had a restricted license for a period of time where you couldn't drive anywhere you wanted to. You had to literally go, oh, am I driving to work, to school, to treatment, to church? If I ain't driving one of those things, I got to get permission or get someone else to drive me. If you went through that whole process and didn't learn your lesson, what do you want the attorney to do for you on the second offense now? What do you, you know, we're not miracle workers, you know? And so it's kind of like if somebody keeps, I don't know, hurting themselves, the first time you help them out, feel sorry for them. The second time you're like, wait a second, you don't remember the earlier time? And so one of the things that I've told people, and I believe this to be true, is that if you look at what the threshold now is that'll get you in trouble for having alcohol in your system while driving a car, 0.06, 0.07, it's so low in some states that I am convinced that the average person out there putting alcohol in their body, whether through shots or beer or wine or whatever, can hit that level sooner than they think. And I think that the average person right at that level, if you ask them, could you drive right now? They'd say, yeah. They believe it. And that's an issue because there's no real easy way to check. I know some people have made portable things. I saw it on Shark Tank. And I understand that. But the average person standing there going, yeah, I had a couple drinks. And they even put it on the driver's test. Every couple of years, and you've got to go and retake the test in Michigan, you know. And they'll actually say, assuming you weigh this much and you drink this many beers in this many hours, you know, it's a math problem. No one knows that in their heads. And so the thinking is that you're supposed to be able to judge your own ability to drive. But it's not your ability to drive. It's how much alcohol is in your system. And you can't judge that. So I have a little bit of sympathy for a person who gets pulled over first offense, and they're not trashed out of their minds. I've had somebody get pulled over where they blew a .25 and, you know, had a hard time blowing in the breathalyzer because they kept passing out, that kind of thing, okay? I look at that and go, okay, you knew you shouldn't get behind the wheel of a car, right? You had to have known. But when someone blows right at the threshold and they actually tell me, and I believe them, they go, look, I passed all the field sobriety tests. The guy told me to jump up and down on 1 foot, like do this with my finger and sing Star Spangled Banner backwards, and I did it. And I believe them. But the point is that you still had that threshold, and you hit the threshold. And so I have sympathy on the first offense. I've got zero sympathy on the second offense because you need to learn from your mistakes. And if you don't learn from your mistakes, you got bigger problems. This is just one of your problems. Your second offense drunk driving is one of your problems. You must have other problems in your life if you don't learn from your mistakes. So I don't know what happened to this man in Hawaii. The story is 5 years old now. But like I said, too cool passed along. So Steve, it reminded me of a prosecutor who got busted for drunk driving. And it turns out he'd been busted before. So like I said, first offense, I feel sorry for you. Although with the prosecutor in Michigan, if that's his first offense, I've got no sympathy for him. And the reason I raise my standards when it comes to a prosecutor or a judge or a lawyer even, is we know the rules on this stuff. And I've been places before and I've had people offer me alcohol. And I always use the excuse, I don't drink. And I rarely drink. You know, last time I had alcohol was, I think, years ago, literally. I had to think about it. But that's my excuse. But in reality, I'm also thinking, if I got to get in my car and drive, I don't want to be one of those idiot attorneys who gets a drunk driving. Because if I get busted for drunk driving, I know I got to report it to the bar, and then I got to go do all the stuff with the court. I've seen what happens to my clients. I don't want to be one of my clients. So there you go. Too cool. Thanks for the story. Questions, comments, put them below. Otherwise, I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. If a cow ever got the chance, he'd eat you and everyone you care about.